seriously endeavor to go through the whole of the Bible in 9 or 10 weeks. And we started off by talking about how God is a God who speaks, and he's spoken to us through his word, through the Bible. And the first story the Bible tells us is a story of creation, how God made everything, don't let me down, and he made everything good. He made everything good. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, it's good, good, good. Not good for man to be alone, but now we have male and female. It is very good. Genesis chapter 3, catastrophe hits. Mankind, headed by Adam and Eve, fall into sin. They rebel against God's plan for them. And from Genesis 3 onwards, it's not just catastrophe, but it's chaos upon chaos upon chaos. But then we saw how God didn't abandon us in our chaos, but he reached out to you and I. He reached out to humanity through covenant after covenant after covenant, relationship with God on his terms. And then we had the week where God sent his son Jesus Christ to live a perfect life, the life none of us could ever live, and to die on a cross to rescue us from our sins by taking the punishment that we deserve for all the bad things we've done. And he rose from the dead. And then he gathered a group of about 120 of his followers, and he said to them, just like the Father sent me, now I am sending you. And we saw how that was the church. God's body on planet Earth for the blessing of every tribe. And we finished last week with a bit of a sneak preview of this week, how one day in heaven there'll be a multitude from every tribe and every tongue, and we'll all be one. And can we switch over to the headset now, please? And we saw how there's a unique potential, particularly in a city like Nairobi, to build a church that gathers people from different backgrounds and different tribes, where we can worship God. Must I turn this on? Will that help? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. My apologies. Thank you, Kogi. I don't know what we'd still be not hearing if you hadn't helped us. Thank you. And how that'll be made up of people from every tribe and every tongue. And we kind of landed up talking about that theme of oneness. And I learned a verse. I was taught a verse by our sign language brothers and sisters just last Sunday, and it's from Ephesians 4, which celebrates the unity that can only be found in Christ. There's no peace pact, there's no government agreement, there's nothing that can unite people like the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 4 says that we are one body. Can you guys sign the signs after me? You may pick up something. We are one body, one spirit. We have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are one. But now we fast forward to the end of the story, and we're going to be in the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and a little bit of Revelation 22. And Bruno and Betty are going to do the reading for us. It's all of chapter 21 and part of chapter 22 as well. And so you need to concentrate. They're going to be reading from the Message translation, just because I like the way that they put it. And then we're going to walk through some of those verses and see what these mean. How, you see, now we're going to see how the story ends. And how the story ends makes all the difference, because it is your story, my story, our story. This is how everything ends. And we're going to see today how, first of all, how everything ends and how that affects how you and I should live today. So Betty, Bruno, please take it away and then I'll pray for us.
Verse 1, I saw heaven and earth new created, gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem, new created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They are his people. He is their God. He'll wipe their fears out. He'll wipe their tears from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone.
The enthroned continued, look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down, each word, dependable and accurate. Then he said, this has happened. I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning. I'm the conclusion. From water of life, well, I give freely to the thirsty. Conquerors inherit all this. I'll be God to them. They'll be sons and daughters to me. But for the rest, the feckless, the faithless, degenerates, murderers, sex peddlers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, for them is lake fire and brimstone, second death.
One of the seven angels who had carried the bowl filled with the seven final disasters spoke to me. Come here, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He took me away in the spirit to an enormous high mountain and showed me holy Jerusalem descending out of the heaven from God, resplendent in the bright glory of God. The city shimmered like a precious gem, light-filled, pulsing light. She had a wall majestic and high, 12 gates. At each gate stood an angel, and on the gates were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. The wall was set on 12 fountains, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb inscribed on them.
The angel speaking with me had a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out in a perfect square. He measured the city with this measuring stick, 12 stands and stadia, its length, width, and height all equal. Using the standard measure, the angel measured the thickness of its wall, 144 cubits. The wall was jasper, the color of glory, and the city was pure gold, translucent as glass. The foundations of the city walls were garnished with every precious gem imaginable. The first foundation jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the seventh beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold, translucent as glass.
But there was no sign of a temple, for the Lord God, the sovereign, the strong, the Lamb are the temple. The city doesn't need sun or moon for light. God's glory is its light, the Lamb its lamp. The nation will walk in its light. The earth kings bring in their splendor. Its gate will never be shut by day, and there won't be any night. They'll bring the glory and honor of the nation into the city. Nothing dirty or defiled will get into the city, and no one who defies or deceives. Only those whose names are written on the Lamb's book of life will get in.
Then the angel showed me water of life river, crystal bright. It flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb, right down the middle of the street. The tree of life was planted on each side of the river, producing 12 kinds of fruit, a ripe fruit each month. The leaves of the trees are for healing the nations. Never again will anything be cursed. The throne of God and of the Lamb is at the center. His servants will offer God service, worshiping. They'll look on his face, their foreheads mirroring God. Never again will there be any night. No one will need lamplight or sunlight. The shining of God, the Master, is all the light anyone needs. And they will rule with him age after age after age.
That's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
There we go. Awesome. Okay, so we're at the end of the story, And the way that history ends, this is so cool, we get to read the end of the story even before it happens. The way that history ends is with new people in a new place. And we're going to look at that very briefly under those two headings. Four things about this new people, four things about this new place. Under new people, we see that the description of this city is actually a description of the church. I'll explain to you. Revelation 21:2. John the Revelator, who wrote this, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. City comes down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 9, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the what? The bride. The bride is the wife of the Lamb. So, pop quiz, God is going to show, or the angel is going to show John, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. From your Bible knowledge, who is the bride, the wife of the Lamb? The church. You got it right. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So angel says, I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Here's the city. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, as clear as crystal. It's a common misconception that the city that we're talking about in Revelation 21 with the pearly gates and so on, it's a common misconception that that is heaven. That is not heaven. Revelation tells us that the bride is a city, and we know that the bride is the church. And so the city, the new Jerusalem, is the church. Does that make sense? Still tracking with me. This is a picture to teach us not just about heaven, but to teach us about the church. One commentator, Mount, said that as Jesus' bride, the church is pure and lovely, because brides are pure and lovely, aren't they? Think back to the last wedding you were at and picture the bride. And now all the ladies go, ah, oh, lovely. That's the way the church is, pure and lovely. The commentator Mounts continues, and as wife, she enjoys the intimacy of the Lamb. Comes down, the bride of Christ, the church of God, down out of heaven, shimmering, glimmering with beauty. Just like a bride on her wedding day walks down the aisle. The city is the bride, and the bride is the church. What? Yes. What are the implications for us? Here's one. Men, for all eternity, we're going to be a bride. Just settle it and get happy with it. The church is a bride. The first thing about this new people. The second thing is that the church isn't just a bride. She is a beautiful bride. Revelation 21:11. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. 21 verse 18 to 21. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And Betty read the names of those stones better than I ever could. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent gloss. I've been to some cool cities in my time, but I've never been to a city as cool as this, as beautiful as this. The commentator Mounts, he observes that the fact that it talks about transparency, means that this new city, this new Jerusalem, is designed to transmit the glory of God, kind of like its light, completely. It means that for all of eternity, you and I will be beautiful forever with the beauty of God. We will transmit His glory and His radiance. There's a song that I love, and it's talking about the beauty of God. And one line in it, it says that there is a beauty far beyond what eyes of flesh could ever see. That's why when you and I get to the new heavens and the new earth, our old eyes will be taken from us, and we're going to need new resurrection body eyes to take in the wonders of the new heaven and the new earth. And in that new heaven and in that new earth, the centerpiece is the city. The city is the bride, and the bride is the church. The church that Jesus gave His life for. That's going to be the centerpiece of the new heavens and the new earth, radiating the one who it's all about, our glorious God. The church is a bride. The church is not just a bride, she's a beautiful bride. And this is the bride that Jesus gave His life for. Jesus was committed to His body, the church. How are you doing in terms of your church commitment? A story. A story, a true story as I understand it, about a chicken and a pig. Have I told you this one before? You may have forgotten it, Jessica. True story, but there was a chicken and a pig. They were best of friends. I'm not sure how true a story it is, but it's a good story. And they both lived on a farm with a wonderful farmer. And this farmer, he was so good to them. He looked after them. He fed them day after day after day. And one year, the farmer's birthday was coming around. And so the chicken and the pig get together. And chicken says to pig, "Pig, we're going to do something really cool for the farmer on his birthday." Pig says to chicken, "Chicken, we don't have any money. We don't have any plan. What are we going to do?" Chicken says back to pig, "Let's just think about it, but we've got to come up with a really good birthday plan for the farmer who's looked after us so well." So they both think about it for a couple of days. And after a couple of days, chicken calls pig over and says, "Pig, I've got a fantastic idea." Pig says, "What are we going to do?" Chicken says to pig, "We are going to make the farmer breakfast in bed. We don't need any money. I will provide the eggs, and pig, you will provide the bacon." The problem with that plan is that whilst it required the chicken's involvement, it needed some serious commitment from the pig. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus isn't just involved in His church, He is committed to His bride. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, are you a chicken kind of Christian? Buck, 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 buck! Or are you a pig kind of Christian? Oink, oink. The one we follow was nothing less than committed. And when we understand how He sees His bride, how He sees His church for all eternity from passages like this, friends, Don't date the church. Commit. Don't just be involved in what Christ gave his life for. We want to be a committed band of Christ followers. The church is a bride. The church is beautiful. And get this, the church isn't just a beautiful bride. She is also a big bride. Revelation 21 verse 12. This city, this church, this bride, it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. One commentator observes that in Roman times, a typical city would have 3 gates maybe on one side. But this city, this heavenly city, had not 3, not 6, not 9, but 12 gates on all sides, sending the message that people from the north, the south, and the east, and the west are welcome in the bride, are welcome in the church, are welcome in the kingdom of God. What does that mean for a local church? See, these aren't just abstract principles. Oh, that's interesting. What it means is that as a church, people from the coast, people from Western Kenya, people from North Nairobi, people from South Nairobi need to be welcome in this body if we want to reflect the way we will be for all eternity. People welcome from every side. Verse 15, the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide as it is long. 12,000 stadia, that's how long the city was. That is 2,200 kilometers. So this heavenly city is 2,200 kilometers long, 2,200 kilometers wide, 2,200 kilometers high. This is a massive city. And this book of Revelation, it was written to people who were being persecuted at that time by the global emperor. And they would have struggled to imagine that, man, one day this thing is going to be so big. It's going to be bigger than any city you've ever seen, bigger than Rome, 2,200 kilometers this way and that way and that way. And friends, that needs to be our expectation when it comes to the kingdom of God and when it comes to the church is, wow, the Bible tells me that his story ends with a big and beautiful bride. So God, we pray for the growth of your church around the world. We pray for the growth of your church around this city. And God, we pray for the growth of this local church. By the way, I hope you're praying for the growth of One Tribe. I hope you're not coming here and thinking, we're running out of chairs. Maybe we should stop inviting people. Don't think like that, because God wants a big bride, and that takes some growing churches. And that means if we've got to change some things so that more people can come and hear about Jesus, then we're going to change some things. God wants a big bride, a beautiful bride, and that's the way it's going to be for all eternity. God will be in the city. Wow. Revelation 21 verse 3 said, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 16, the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city. Remember, it's got this cubic dimensions. And people who had a Jewish background, when they heard of a cube, they would immediately have been reminded of how back in the story when David's son Solomon had built the temple, in the temple there was a cube, and that cube was the place where God himself lived. And so if this new city, 2,000 by 2,000 by 2,000 long, is shaped in a cube, that's a pointer that this is the place where at last God is going to dwell amongst his people forever. He wanted to be with them in Eden, but Adam and Eve messed that up, and he wanted to be with them in the tabernacle and in the temple, but Israel messed that up. He sent his son Jesus to tabernacle amongst us, but we killed him and nailed him to a cross. But one day, God will be in our midst. His presence unhindered by sin forever. Do you know the priests in Solomon's temple, when the glory of God came down, they couldn't even stand up to minister because of the glory of God. But the Bible says that you and I will live forever in the atmosphere of the pure presence of the living God. Oh, we're going to be new people forever with God with us, in us, forever. We will be new people, but it gets even better. We'll be new people, but we will also be in a new place. God, help me to deliver these things. It's a new place. This new place is paradise reborn. Revelation 21 verse 1, this is important. The Bible says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The message that the Bible's trying to tell us is that God made paradise with the river flowing through it and the tree of life in the center. And in Revelation 21 and 22, God says, I'm going to remake paradise. What we lost in the Garden of Eden is going to be restored in the new heavens and in the new earth. Elton, just go back to Revelation 21, verses 5 to 6. He who was seated on the throne, that's God, said, hey, listen, team, listen, one tribe. I am making everything new. That is so important. I'll tell you why it's so important. It's important because as Christians, we often live like God is making everyone new without understanding that he's making everything new. Does that make sense? What I mean is, often as Christians, we say, I want Chris to be saved and I want him to go to heaven. And when he goes to heaven, it's like he's going to leave his body behind, we hope. And something that looks somewhat like Casper the Friendly Ghost will go up and be on a cloud for an undetermined period of time. Have you caught that kind of thinking in our society and in our culture? And he leaves his body behind and he'll be in heaven and maybe he'll have a harp and a nice white dressing gown. That is very commonly, the everyday Christian's understanding of what happens and what will be happening for all of eternity. Why do I not believe that? I don't believe that because we are followers of Jesus. Whenever you get confused in church, confused in life, confused in theology, bring it back to Jesus. What happened with Jesus? Jesus died, the Bible said. When he came back to life, he came back with a body that could eat fish. And he could say to Thomas, put your hands in the wounds. This is the real deal. Jesus has a resurrected body. And 1 Corinthians 15 makes it clear that his resurrected body is the first fruits of the resurrection bodies that he has for every one of his followers for all eternity. So you might be like me and wish that your feet were a little bit bigger. You might wish you're a little bit taller. You might wish that you're a little bit slimmer. Good news, one day an upgrade is coming from Jesus himself. That is a resurrection body, remember, with the resurrection eyes, that we will enjoy for all eternity. God isn't just making everyone new. The Bible says he is making everything new. What does that mean? God doesn't just care about people, he cares about things. He doesn't just make people new, he makes things new. So he's going to make a new earth and a new heaven. And if you read Revelation 21, it is not true that the church goes up to be in heaven with God forever. The Bible never teaches that. What the Bible teaches is that God makes a new heaven and a new earth. And the church doesn't go up. The new Jerusalem, the holy city, comes down. And we live forever on a new heavens and a new earth, with sin done away with. But in the new heavens and the new earth, there will still be mountains like Mount Kenya. There'll still be art and culture and music and eating, and therefore cooking and preparing food. All that without sin taintedness. Why is that important? It's incredibly important because therefore, as a church, we don't just exist to see people saved in Nairobi. We don't just exist to see new people in Nairobi. We exist to be a part of God making all of Nairobi new. Does that make sense? And so we care about what's happening in the shopping malls. We care about what's happening in Karura Forest. We care about what's happening in government. Why? Because God doesn't just care about our souls. He cares about all of his creation. That's why he's going to remake all of his creation. And how does that affect the way you and I live now? Well, we want to be a part of seeing God's kingdom come in all of the great city of Nairobi. Is this making sense? We're out of time, so I'm going to stop there this morning. Maybe just some fun headings for you to go away and think about. In this new place, it's paradise reborn, but in this new place, the curse is lifted. In this new place, we will see Jesus face to face. And in this new place, there will be an everlasting reign. Revelation 22 verse 5 said that they will reign forever and ever. Can you imagine cities like Nairobi recreated in the glory of God? Sin done away with, the curse is lifted, tribalism is gone, corruption is gone, traffic jams are gone. Matatu drivers will be there, but only if they love Jesus. And Uhuru will be forgotten, and Trump will be forgotten, and Obama will be forgotten, and Mugabe will be forgotten. Because there'll be one king above all kings, one lord above all lords, and his name is Jesus. This was best described by C.S. Lewis. He wrote a series of stories, and at the end, spoiler alert, the heroes and the heroines of the story die in the Chronicles of Narnia. And he describes their forever experience. This is how he describes it. This excellent description of the way we will be for all eternity. He says, the things that began to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Shall we stand together? Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this sneak preview of the way things will be for all eternity. We want to thank you that we will be new people in a new place, reigning with you forever. And God, may the things that we've heard today affect the way that we live today. God, I pray that One Tribers would become known as a people who don't just live for this life, but who live for eternity. But God, at the same time, I pray that we wouldn't become known as a church that's so heavenly minded, we are no earthly good. But God, I pray that we be a people who are committed to your body, to your bride. Would you speak to me about that right now? Speak to different ones amongst us of that right now. God, would you make us a people who are believing you for growth in your church. Thank you that the gates of heaven are open and that all are welcome from the north, the south, the east, and the west in your bride, in your body. God, I pray for this thing of the new heavens and the new earth. Oh God, you know there's so much more we could have said about that, but God, I just pray that by your Spirit right now, you'd make us a people passionate about everything you're passionate about. That God, we believe you not just for souls saved in Nairobi, but for your kingdom to come in Nairobi as it is in heaven. God, we thank you for the students who've served us so wholeheartedly, so enthusiastically. Thank you for what you're doing in each life, those who are fourth years and finished and those who are still studying. God, we pray blessing, success in exams, intimacy with you. God, even now, stir kingdom passions afresh in every single heart, in every student heart, in every non-student heart. In Jesus' name, we pray all of these things. Amen.
Yeah, oops, sorry. We have come to